Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm hosting this week, James Vickers. I'm joined as ever by optimistic Newcastle fan, Jake Jackman. Jake, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, James. Can't talk about Newcastle on this podcast, but looking forward to getting into the Championship.
Yeah, well, I've got to talk about Preston, unfortunately, which hasn't been going well the last few weeks. So with that, I'll throw it over to you. If you want to take us through the results from the midweek games that we've just had as we're recording this, and we can go from there.
Yeah, so we just finished the midweek round of fixtures last night. So fresh in our mind, started on Tuesday, we had Millwall and Swansea playing out a 1-1 draw, two teams outside the playoffs, so didn't do either of them any favours. Cardiff and Charlton drew 0-0, Charlton keeping their third clean sheet post-lockdown. Barnsley beating Blackburn 2-0. Continuing the trend, which we'll see over these results, of teams that were in the bottom three or are in the bottom three getting good results. Brentford went away to Reading and won 3-0. Fulham beat QPR 2-1 coming from behind. Leeds and Luton, in a surprise result, drew 1-1 at Elland Road. Wigan, who we'll come on to a lot later, beating Stoke 3-0. Derby, and then moving into Wednesday, fixtures, Derby beating Preston 1-0 in the early kickoff. Huddersfield beating Birmingham 3-0 to improve their chance of staying up. Nottingham Forest beating Bristol City 1-0, with Bristol City having a man sent off. West Brom beating Sheffield Wednesday 3-0. And Hull beating Middlesbrough 2-1 last night with a late goal from Hull in that one. So only three draws in the midweek fixtures, a lot of wins.
Yeah, there was quite a few games that stood out for me. One in particular, a team that are absolutely flying since the football's resumed, Brentford. And I was saying this on another show a few days ago, I genuinely wouldn't be surprised with the way that Leeds and West Brom are sort of making it a bit harder for themselves, shall we say, at the moment, if Brentford really seriously put pressure on them to in the automatics. Brentford, we talked about quite a lot on this show, have always been a little bit inconsistent. They're so good going forwards, they're a joy to watch, but it's that consistency which has seen them fall just short on a number of occasions. But this season, they've really found that sort of recipe for picking up points when they're not necessarily playing well. This week, though, against Reading, absolutely fantastic. I was all set to talk about Ollie Watkins and how good he is and Ben Rama. Neither of them contributed a goal and an assist this week, but it was a couple of the sort of more unsung heroes for them, in Mbeumo and Josh De Silva. Goal each for them. Absolutely flying, and when you're getting people chipping in goals when the likes of Watkins and Benrahma aren't scoring, you're doing something right. Reading, as I found out with a sort of supporting Preston, difficult place to go. Brentford went there, 3-0 winners, and I think for Brentford, away from home more particular, because their away following isn't one of the biggest in the league. I think they sort of struggle with that, which is why they haven't been as consistent with the fans getting behind them. At Griffin Park, absolutely fantastic. You know, one of the best home teams, in a game that I always dread when the fixtures come out as a Preston fan. And I think having the football behind closed doors has really benefited them, because it's got more of a feel as like a training game. I'd say on paper they are one of, if not the top sort of two most talented sort of 11s in the league. And you can see that from the way they're playing at the moment, with the pressure off of not having fans getting on your back. And, you know, as I said at the start of this, I really wouldn't be surprised if they went and put some serious pressure on Leeds and West Brom for the remaining weeks. And, you know, if they keep playing as they are doing, and them to, you know, slip up a little bit more, I think they're 5 points behind West Brom at the moment with six to play. So definitely not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. You know, it could be a very good end to the season for Brentford. Other surprising result for me was the Leeds-Luton game. Leeds, I thought, would have hit the ground running after football resumed. You know, they've had a number of weeks, obviously, through no fault of their own, to get players back fit. They just seem a little bit flat at the moment. They've had a couple of draws here and there. And Luton, who got a draw against, they were really fighting for their lives. And one of the teams I could potentially see getting out of that relegation trouble if they carry on playing the way they are doing at the moment. So a little bit disappointed with Leeds. I thought they would have had a bit too much for Luton, but just goes to show how unpredictable the Championship is. They're the two that stand out for me, Jake. Are there any others in particular that stand out for that I've not mentioned there?
Yeah, so there's a couple. I think focusing on what's going on at the bottom of the table, I thought that the Cardiff-Charlton game being 0-0 was a bit of a surprise. Cardiff, having won their previous two following the restart, moving into the playoff positions, I thought this was a game that they would win at home. Charlton obviously been impressive since the restart as well, but they'd only played Hull and QPR, two teams that hadn't really been up to much. So I thought that this would be one step too far for Charlton, but they managed to keep it tight, and it was quite a close game. Both teams had chances. It was very much a 0-0, and it was quite boring, but both teams were evenly matched in terms of what they did produce in the attacking half. So didn't put themselves to shame. They're very tight at the back, obviously, third clean sheet in a row. So without Lyle Taylor, I think Lee Bowyer's noticed that they're just going to have to keep clean sheets to stay up, and they've done that, and that's 7 points out of a possible nine now, and they're moving into a nice position in the table. Not safe yet, but looking a lot more likely to stay up in the over the coming weeks. Well placed in 18th position, so good result for Charlton. And I think the other one for me, not really surprising, but I think I'll get your thoughts on it as a Preston fan. Derby going to beat Preston 1-0 away from home. Deepdale's obviously been quite a fortress in recent seasons, but maybe not having fans isn't helping there. But if you look at the form table over the last six games, Derby are second in that with 15 points, obviously moving closer to the playoffs. They've been excellent since Rooney came in. Preston, 24th in the form table, couldn't be any lower, picked up the fewest points over the last six matches with only 1 point. James, what is going on at Preston?
They're turning me grey, first of all. I was really optimistic coming out of coming into the football resuming again that we could pick up that form that we left off. We just look like we don't have any idea what we're doing in the final third of the pitch, to be completely honest. Some of the signings that Neil's made just haven't kicked on the way that I would have thought they would have. Scott Sinclair's been really disappointing. He got the goal against Luton, but in the Derby game he was just non-existent down the right wing, and it wasn't until Tom Barkhuizen came on that we actually looked a threat. I think he came on in the 77th minute, without being exact at a minute, and from that point on we actually looked a threat going forwards. Derby just had that know-how and experience at the back to keep us out, but if that had been like that from the start of the game, you know, who knows what would have happened. Creative-wise, we're just not creating enough chances. Jaden Stockley, Nugent aren't the quickest, so there's no running in behind. Maguire, who can run in behind, just has no confidence whatsoever at the moment. Only got a couple of goals this season, and there's real issues in that forward area for us, which I think is ultimately going to see us fall short. But the form is quite worrying. If we were getting, you know, draws here and there, winning games, I'd obviously still be bothered, but not as bothered. But We just look like a side who've completely run out of steam, don't have a plan B. And I think between now and the end of the season, Neil, who's always been reluctant to change his formation, he's quite rigid in the fact that he sticks to a 4-2-3-1 and very rarely deviates from that. He's going to sort of hopefully experiment with new things and see if he can get us, you know, back playing. We've been in awful form, but if you look at the table, we're still not a million miles away. We're only 4 points back off the playoffs, which I know we were in the playoffs when football resumed, but 4 points with six games to go is certainly an amount that we can make up. So he needs to get it right and get it right quickly. But yeah, it's not been going well at all. For then individual performances of the sort of the match day, there's one that stands out for me in particular, and I'll sort of go with mine first and then see if you have any others, Jake. Was Cal Naismith at Wigan. We'll get onto Wigan a little bit later in the show with the troubles that's going on there at the moment, but a big relegation six-pointer for them against Stoke. Wigan now, I believe it's 7 clean sheets in a row and 1 defeat in 8. Fantastic form for them. For a side that still are near the foot of the table, which shows you, as you touched on at the start of the show, Jake, all the sides in and around the relegation zone are all picking up points, which is making it hard for the likes of Luton and Barnsley to get out of trouble, because when they pick up points, everyone else does. So it's really congesting that bottom half of the table. But Wigan now, who come Christmas time, we were saying, you know, we're more or less dead and buried, 10 points off the bottom now, 14th. A couple more wins for them. I'd say 2 more wins out of these last 6. Definitely safe, if they're not safe already. I think they're in a lot better form compared to the teams in and around the bottom. In that bottom half, they've conceded the least amount of goals as well. I think you have to look up to Millwall in 11th for teams that have conceded less than them. So they're making themselves hard to beat, and they're starting to pick up points as a result of that as well. Cal Naismith was fantastic. That first goal that Wigan scored, though, serious questions need to be asked again of Jack Butland. How that managed to go in off his knee from that position, you know, it's like one of those goals that you concede on FIFA and end up throwing your controller. You know, he should be doing a lot better than that for a former England international. Stoke, worrying about them, got a really tough run of fixtures. But Wigan, I say it in a surprising manner, but the way they've been in recent weeks, picking up where they left off from sort of February, March, just carried on that great form, and they're having a really strong end to the season, which is, you know, a delight for them on the pitch. Obviously, they've got their off-field troubles, but yeah, Cal Naismith for me was my standout performance of the week. Are there any others in particular for you, Jake, that stood out?
Yeah, I thought Wayne Rooney was very good, step above in that game. You could just see the class he's brought to Derby, although he doesn't might not have the physicality and the pace and the mobility that he once did. He's been a massive part of that Derby team and brought on a lot of those young players. So yeah, he stood out for me. Excellent free kick as well. Just going back on the Wigan point, for Naismith was very good. You're right to say they're probably safe at the moment, but as we know, they could be getting a 12-point deduction, which would put them in 24th position. So don't think we should be getting ourselves ahead of Wigan just yet. Form is good, and they probably still back themselves to stay up from that. But yeah, they're going to be hit in the not-too-distant future with a 12-point points deduction. Other players that stood out, I thought that Mbeumo was good for Brentford. We obviously mentioned him a little bit earlier. Jacob Brown, very good for Barnsley, getting a goal and just leading the line quite well in that game against Blackburn. I think that they're the main ones for me.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I agree with you there. To come on then to Wigan, sort of quite nicely takes us on to it. Obviously, you mentioned that 12 points deduction. The main headline this week is that Wigan are going into administration. Are you surprised by that in terms of not too distantly been in the, been in the Premier League? I always thought of Wigan, especially under Dave Whelan, as a club that live within their means. Obviously, they don't spend fortunes on players. They don't have the biggest fan base. So they were always, you know, there or thereabouts in terms of financial sort of steadiness. Came as a bit of a surprise to me, but you look at the North West teams over the last few seasons that have, you know, been in real financial trouble. You like some Bolton, Bury, unfortunately no longer a football club. How do you see the Wigan situation developing? Do you think that there will be further repercussions to go along with the possible 12-point deduction? Do you think that they could, you know, drop down a division? Do you think it could hopefully not go the way of Bury? What are your thoughts on that at the moment?
Yeah, it's still quite fresh in the mind. I think that they're in very much in danger of going down. Are currently top of the form table over the last six games, so taking 16 points from that. So they've obviously in very good form, which has seen them shoot up to mid-table, but they will be getting a 12-point deduction, so that will take them down to 38 points, which is currently 6 points from safety with six games to go. So regardless of the form you're in, that's not a position you'd want to be in, and I don't think I'd back them to stay up from that, especially given the amount of wins that the other teams are getting at the bottom of the table. It'd be a very tough ask for them to stay up once this 12-point deduction goes through. So it looks like they will be going down. It's just quite it seems to have come out of nowhere, quite recently taken over, so you'd have thought that they'd be one of the more stable clubs with finance coming in. Been warnings at government committee meetings that there could be another 10 or 15 clubs facing similar issues and going into administration if there isn't any financial intervention from the government or the Premier League or the FA. But I don't think it will go the same way as Wigan as Bury. Sorry, I think that they read a story yesterday that there's been 12 expressions of interest in buying the club. And taking it off the administrator's hands. So that's a positive sign. Obviously, FA Cup winners not long ago, so they've got, and Premier League as well, as you said, so I think there'll be interest in taking them on. But yeah, it just seems to have come out of nowhere, and I don't think it's going to be the last team that we see in the Football League go into administration. I think, as I've said, another 10 or 15 clubs could. Hopefully it's not going to be that many, but be surprised if Wigan were the only one. I know there were more rumours coming out today of recordings of Rick Parry, the EFL chairman, talking about rumours about large bets being placed on Wigan to go down in the Middle East, where the ownership group comes from, and maybe putting them into administration is a way to for this bet to come in. I think I've seen on social media, it's all subjective, but there is a recording of Rick Parry discussing this. So yeah, it's lots of rumours going around. I think there's a lot more to come out of the Wigan story, but as they've gone into administration, the EFL have no choice but to give them the 12-point deduction. So yeah, that's probably going to see them go down, which is a shame considering how good they've been since the turn of the year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is really disappointing for them. Obviously, been in fantastic form, as I touched on, and you know, that sort of squad of players with the way they've played, especially over the last eight games, really don't deserve to go down. The only thing that, I mean, I say potentially could save them is obviously that form at the moment. If they did get that 12-point deduction, which would take them down onto 38 points, that leaves them 6 points above the outside the relegation zone to stay up for next season. So, you know, could they make that up over six games? Yeah, with the way they're playing, I don't think it would affect the players on the pitch in the sense that it wouldn't knock their confidence. You know, if they can just put their head down and focus on the way that they have been playing, I'd be more than confident that they can pick up points still between now and the end of the season. Just obviously for the fans who they've been punished with the fact of not being able to go to games, and then to have, you know, this 12-point deduction is a real sort of sting for them. Looking at their fixtures now, though, as a sort of touch on that, potentially then still getting themselves out of trouble. Some very winnable games in those last few. They've got QPR at home, who have been a bit hit and miss. They're away at Barnsley, who are right down there, at home to Hull, you know, right down there with them. Away at Charlton, who are right down there with them. So, you know, three or four really big six-pointers there for them. Next game away at Brentford and then the last game home to Fulham, pretty tricky ones. But those four games in between, if they can pick up 9 points or so from them, I just don't have any confidence in the teams in and around them to get many points between now and the end of the season. So, you know, while a 12-point deduction would sting, if they can get, you know, three or four wins out of those last six, it puts them in a really good position then to potentially stay up again. Obviously be a hell of a feat if they did, but I think it's just come at the wrong time for them. If it had come sort of earlier in the season, they know what they're sort of playing with then between now and the end of the season. But yeah, a little bit worried for them. But I think, you know, if any team in that bottom half has got the quality and consistency at the moment to get out of trouble from that, that'd be Wigan. And I think for the sort of the financial side of it, staying in the Championship, if they could, it'd be absolutely massive for them as well. It's a bit of a double whammy. the points deduction and then relegation that comes with it. So you're in effect being punished twice. Moving on then to the other sort of main story from the Championship this week, and one that I've had quite a keen interest in with my sort of affiliation with German football. And I know Jake hates when I talk about German football on this this show, but Jude Bellingham of Birmingham, all but sealed as we're recording this. While it's not been announced, it's more or less done, and we're just waiting for the ink to dry. Securing a £23 million move to Borussia Dortmund, following in the footsteps of Jadon Sancho as another young English player who's gone over there. And then people like Rabi Matondo, John Joe Kenny have gone to Schalke, for example, of young English and sort of UK-based players who are going over to the Bundesliga and really sort of kicking on and turning themselves into household names. Do you expect Bellingham to follow in that? There's no doubt that he's an absolutely, you know, phenomenally talented footballer at his age, and he's only going to get better. Do you see Dortmund as the right club for him, or would you have preferred him to stay at Birmingham or potentially go to someone like Manchester United, who he was linked with?
It's a difficult one. I think that another year in the Championship probably would have done him a lot of good, but then at the same time, Birmingham might need the money. There's a lot of demand in Bellingham right now, and it might be the right time to move him on. We don't know what his agents want as well, so, you know, it's a good time, I think, for him to move when his reputation is so high. He's only just turned 17 in the last week, so, you know, that's a scary thought that he's already played 35 matches in the Championship before he even turned 17, so he's got a lot of experience for assists. Good record, he always stands out. When I watch Birmingham, he's just, you can see the talent he's got for a player of his age is remarkable. Played all across midfield, so he's quite versatile. So it'll be interesting to see how he develops in Germany. I'd expect that to go through. It's been reported in a lot of places, so it does seem to be going that way. It'd be interesting how they play him and how they use him. We've obviously seen with Sancho that they were quick to give him minutes. It's quite a slow build, but at the same time, he was given minutes pretty much from the off. He just sort of had to work his way into being a starter, but then I think Bellingham won't mind that same progress. A few seasons ago, we had Ryan Sessegnon doing so well in the Championship. We then saw what happened when he finally left Fulham. It's not gone well. He's barely featured. So it was important that Bellingham picked the right move. I think Manchester United would have been a good move as well, but see why it's gone to Dortmund. I think he can sort of develop outside the eye of the English press, which I think has done Sancho a lot of good. So, and Sancho doing so well there and emerges, you know, one of the best players in Europe now. It's just such a marker for a player like Bellingham. You can see why he's decided to take the same move, and it'll be exciting to see how he goes over there. I'd expect if he does go, he'll probably get a good amount of minutes. I think, James, you'll be more knowledgeable than me on this, so interesting to get your thoughts on it, but I'm sure he'd get, you know, well over, he'd feature in well over 20 games, whether that was as a sub or a few as a starter across the cups and the league. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to know your thoughts on what this would mean to Bellingham and if you think that this is the right move for him.
Yeah, definitely. I think the teams that he potentially could have gone to, I think Dortmund, for their reputation over the last certainly 5 to 10 years of developing young players, has been, you know, second to none. You look at the likes of Sancho, who we mentioned, Ousmane Dembele came in relatively unknown. Christian Pulisic came from the youth academy. So there's definitely the opportunity there for him to learn and develop. And as you mentioned, Dortmund are a team that aren't afraid to give young players minutes. Even over the last few games of the season, people like Tobias Raschel and Marco Renta, who are coming through the academy, have got minutes. And there was an interview with Mikel Zorc, who's one of the higher-ups at Dortmund, who said when Sancho came in, rather than, you know, immediately rushing him, they wanted to make sure he was acclimatised to his surroundings. They gave him the opportunity to learn and train with the under-23s initially, and they didn't rush him for the sake of rushing him. So I think what Dortmund will do, which will benefit Bellingham in the long run, is give him that real good grounding in the under-23s. If he's not quite ready for the first team, obviously he's done fantastically well at Birmingham, so I wouldn't be surprised if sooner rather than later he was in that first team setup. But they'll certainly look after him, nurture him. And yeah, I expect him to play in the Pokal, which is the German FA Cup. And in, you know, feature on the bench in some of the games as well. So I think it definitely is the right move for him. And the Bundesliga is really getting a reputation now as a place for young English talent to go and develop, which certainly in sort of our lifetime, before Sancho went, I can only really think of, you know, players like Owen Hargreaves, Joey Barton to some extent, who went abroad, were quite a narrow-minded country in terms of developing young English footballers. That you look at English players outside the Premier League, and you can probably name outside sort of English competition as the Premier League as well, and you can probably name them on one hand, players who play on the continent. So I think Sancho going initially has really sort of opened the floodgates, and it's only going to benefit the national team as well in the long run, learning in different environments, different coaches, different ways to play the game. So I think it's going to benefit Bellingham in particular, Dortmund and also England in the long run. So yeah, fantastic move for all parties. And, you know, I only wish him the best as someone who does have a keen interest in Dortmund as well, hoping he hits the ground running and he does get the opportunity to play with Sancho if they can hold on to him throughout the summer. Taking us then to the last part of the show, previewing the games for next week. Derby versus Nottingham Forest, Jake, is the first one I want to go through. How do you see this game going at the weekend? Do you think that Forest can go to Derby, who are playing well, and continue their hot run of form?
Yeah, it's going to be one of the better fixtures this weekend, I think. It's obviously a derby. It's going to be interesting how having no fans impacts that. We obviously saw Everton, Liverpool sort of being a bit of a damp squib in the Premier League, so hopefully this won't go the same way. Two teams in fairly good form. Nottingham Forest taking 7 points since the restart, and Derby taking maximum 9, which obviously shows their current form. One of only three teams to take maximum points since the restart. Played some difficult games as well in that, so it's definitely reason to be confident as a Derby fan. Not sure the home advantage should do a lot here, but it's going to be a very interesting marker to see where Derby and Forest are. Forest obviously should be pretty safe in those playoff positions, although a win for Derby and they take some 4 points off them, so it does increase the pressure and bring them back into it. Yeah, it's a really difficult one to call. I think I'm going to side with Derby purely because of their form since Rooney came in. It's up there in the best two, if not the best form since the Rooney transfer happened. So yeah, difficult to back against them in their current form. They've gone from sort of 16th position up to 7th very quickly. 5 wins on the bounce now. Yeah, I think they're going to have enough to beat Forest on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Derby, watching them against us in midweek, they were absolutely fantastic. Rooney in that midfield next to Bird was absolutely fantastic. Just controlled the tempo of the game, and some of the passes that he was playing, you know, he's really sort of made that role his own as he's got older, dropped deeper and deeper, and, you know, it's a fantastic asset for them to have. I'm going to go with Derby as well. This game could go either way. I'm going to go with Derby purely on the basis that they're the home team, and I've seen them play more recently than I have Forest, and for how good they were against us. And, you know, the frightening thing was it didn't even look like they got out of second gear for the most of the game. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Derby. Could go either way, but it's a game that I'll probably watch and be quite sort of excited to watch. It should be, you know, a pretty good game, and a Derby match as well. Only adds to the occasion of it. Second one that we'll go through then, Jake, Bristol City, who've been really disappointing since the restart against Cardiff, who've been pretty good. How do you see that game going for two teams sort of in and around the playoffs? Obviously, Cardiff in the playoffs now. Do you expect them to kick on and really cement a place in the playoffs, or do you think Bristol can get back to winning ways against them?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I think that Cardiff are quite a good team on the counter, quite physical. I think playing against Leeds a couple of weeks ago suited them, and I think Bristol City playing against them is going to suit them as well. I think that they found it difficult sort of being the team expected to win, having the lion's share of possession against Charlton, sort of coming up against a slightly worse version of themselves, and they found that difficult. So I think this is going to benefit them. We obviously know Lee Johnson likes his team to play a bit of football. I think they'll look to take the ascendancy, but there's just no confidence there. Similar to Preston, I think that Neil and Johnson are both streaky managers. When it goes right for them, it goes right. And they go on nice runs of form, but when it goes bad, they just don't seem to be able to turn a slump very quickly. It's either like all in or all out. They just can't find that average form. And given they're in the middle of three losses in a row, 2 points from their last six matches, it's difficult to back them. I think they've fallen well off the playoffs and I can't see them getting back into it. I think I'm going to tip Cardiff. I think I'm going to go for a narrow 1-0 Cardiff win, probably from a set piece.
Yeah, exactly the same reasons as you. I'm going to go with Cardiff in this one. Counter-attacking team, so the onus is on Bristol. Been at home, needing to win to get into the playoffs to attack them. So I can see Cardiff, you know, hitting them on the break. You were quite sort of spot on with what you said there about Neil and Johnson, and it's probably why we both find ourselves like almost banging mid-table at the moment. You know, we just can't get that consistency, similar to how Brentford have been in previous years that I touched on at the start of the show, to get into the playoffs. We do, you know, so well for the majority of the season, and then it's that consistency which lets us down. So, yeah, I'm going to go Cardiff. It'd be another pretty good game to watch, to be honest. There's quite some good fixtures this weekend in the Championship. Fully expecting Cardiff to get a win here. I think it'll be tight, as you said, decided by the odd goal. 1-0, 2-1 would be fair. But yeah, I'm going to agree with you and go Cardiff. Last one, which I'm assuming that we're going to agree for all three of these games, is West Brom at home against Hull City. West Brom obviously second at the moment, a point behind Leeds. Hull, good win in midweek against Middlesbrough. Lost a couple of key players for injury. Herbie Kane went off after scoring in the first half, so it remains to be seen whether he'll feature in the game. Hull obviously had been in free-for-all since losing Bowen and Grosicki in the January transfer window. Look to potentially have turned the corner with that win against Middlesbrough. Can you see him going to West Brom and getting anything, or do you think West Brom will have too much for them, especially playing at home and trying to cement their place in that top two?
It's been interesting with Hull. They've sort of shown a slight resurgence since all the negative press came out about them after the Cheltenham game. I thought that would probably spell the end of them, but they've sort of shown a bit of fight since then. So, yeah, they've scored five goals in their last two matches. Maybe we shouldn't be too quick to write Hull off, but that said, I'm going to do that because I just think West Brom is so much better and I still don't back Hull to stay up. I still think they're going to go down. So, yeah, I think West Brom to win and sort of consolidate their place in the top two, although with tough games coming up after the whole game. I think they've got Derby coming up, so yeah, it's important they win this one to relieve any sort of pressure ahead of that Derby game. So yeah, I'm going to go for a West Brom win.
Yeah, I'm going to go a West Brom win as well. Again, the reasons you said, I think why they are in the table, the two teams, you know, will ultimately make all the difference. West Brom, fantastic going forwards and solid at the back as well in the most part. So I expect West Brom to have too much for Hull. Obviously, we probably would have said that Leeds would have been Luton last week. So, you know, remains to be seen. But I think looking at it, West Brom should have far too much for Hull. I'm going to go for a West Brom win in this. But with that then, Jake, we're out of time. If you want to let anyone know any projects you're involved in, anything that you appear on, now's a good time.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. You can get me on Twitter at JakeJackmove2Ns. I'm going to be on the Premier League show on the EPL Roundtable channel this weekend. I think we're recording that Sunday, so give that one a listen when it comes out.
Yeah, and you can find me on my Twitter, which is at @_JamesVickers. I'm on the Footy Accumulators betting show with Alan McAnally, which comes out each week. Also tweet mainly about German football and obviously on the Championship show as well. So if any of them are interesting to you, give me a follow. And more importantly, you can find us on our show page, which is at Championship Pod. Each episode pinned on there. So give us a follow, turn on the notifications and you won't miss an upload. With that, as I said, we're out of time. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.